If you have your Bibles tonight, we invite you to turn with us to the 18th chapter of the book of Genesis. As we come to this text, in chapter number 17, Abraham was given the covenant from the Lord. And he was given a command by the Lord that all the males of his household from thenceforth should be circumcised. And Abraham was about 100 years old. And understand that immediately he followed God's command in perfect obedience. And we come to this chapter, we see Abraham's faith is way up. He believes God. Have you ever been up on top of the mountaintop? On the other hand, his wife Sarah, her faith was faltering. Her faith was waning. It was way down. Many has been the time where I sit in the office and sit down to talk to a couple. And either he or her, their faith was way up. And either he or her, their faith was way down. And oftentimes when that happens in the home, you think, well, I'm going to pick her up. But you cannot manufacture it. Or I'm going to pick him up. But you cannot make it happen. In this chapter, chapter 18, you're going to see the Lord come to Abraham's tent to visit. And he did reassure Abraham of the promises. But please understand, the reason I believe that the Lord showed up to pay a visit there was because he wanted to encourage Sarah. And I want to say this to you tonight, right out of the gate. If your faith, if you feel like it is faltering, or it is declining, or it is waning away, I have good news for you. He will come up, show himself, come to you when you least expect it. Amen. Let us look in chapter 18, verse number 1. And the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day, and lift up his eyes, and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground. And he said, my Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree, and I will fetch a morsel of bread and comfort ye your hearts. After that ye shall pass on. For therefore are you come to your servant. And they said, so do as thou hast said. And Abraham hastened into the tent unto Sarah and said, make ready quickly three measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes upon the hearth. And Abraham ran unto the herd and fetched a calf tender and good and gave it unto a young man, and he hasted to dress it. And he took butter and milk and the calf which he had dressed and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. Father, I pray now you'd help us as we enter into this time of preaching, that you'd fill us with the Holy Ghost and you'd help these folk that's gathered tonight, Lord, that maybe their faith is faltering or waning away, that God, you would speak to them, may it be tonight. Lord, may you come right to where they are and may you encourage them and bless them. And may this message tonight increase their faith. Father, I pray you do this because it's your word. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Won't you understand tonight, number one in these verses, I see the condescension of the Lord. Again, Abraham had been given a command by God, and Abraham was obedient to God's command. Now he's given you and I a command as well, has he not? He told us to love God with all our heart, soul, and all our mind. He's told us to love each other. He's given us a command. Are you honoring God's command? He told us we ought to be saved. Are you honoring God's command? Amen. As Abraham was obedient, the Bible says the Lord appeared to him. In fact, the Bible says it was in the heat of the day. Most people in the heat of the day, they would sit in their tent door, and whatever breeze was blowing across the plain,
They'd get that cool, gentle breeze, and they'd do just like some of you may do tonight. They'd go right to sleep. Ah. And they'd rest from a tired day right in the heat of the day. Now understand, Abraham is 100 years old. Now I don't know about this, but they tell me as we get older, we like to sleep more. I'm finding that to be true. When I come home after a weary day, I sit down and just, I'm gone just like that. It's amazing how we do that, right? So I want us to see, under the condescension of the Lord, three things about it. First of all, I want us to note his humility. Please understand that at 100 years old, in the heat of the day, when he was sitting there enjoying that breeze, three men, I believe they are divine visitors, come to visit him that day. And I believe that one of these three visitors is the Lord. Now, preacher, how do you know? Well, look at the first verse. The Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre. Stands to reason. Look at verse 13. In this text, and we'll come to this a little later, the Bible says, the Lord said unto Abraham. He talked to him. And look at verse 22. The Bible says at the end of the verse that Abraham stood yet before the Lord. One of these three men was the Lord. Now, preacher, I just don't believe the Lord would appear before he was born of a virgin. Listen, oftentimes, it's a Christophany, oftentimes the Lord would appear just like that. And angels, I suppose, were the other two that were with him. Preacher, who was it? I don't know. Was it Gabriel? Could have been. Was it Michael? Might have been. I don't know who it was, but they were in the form of men, and they came to meet there with Abraham. There's no doubt that this visit is unexpected. It was a surprise. There's been a time or two where people's got unexpected visits. One time the preacher, he went out to visit one of his congregation members. He went to the door and he knocked. Surprise visit. And they were scrambling inside. Didn't know who it was. Looked out. He seen the blinds open. Heard him say, oh no, it's the preacher. And went, you could hear feet scrambling, stirring inside. Never would open the door. He took out his business card and he wrote on the back of it, Revelation 3:20. You know what that verse says? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will dine with him and he with me. He's up with you, right? Well, what happened the next Sunday? The ushers found his card where he had Revelation 3:20 on it. And underneath it, they wrote Genesis chapter 3, verse 10. And they said, what does this mean? I heard thy voice in the garden. And I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. It was an unexpected surprise visit. The Bible says that when this unexpected surprise visit came, at 100 years of age, when Abraham saw them, look at verse 2, he ran to meet them. Can you imagine a 100-year-old man running? Better question. Can you imagine you running to meet the Lord? There he was. Three men, three divine visitors. And he ran to meet them. And he didn't just stop at running. The Bible says that he bowed himself toward the ground. And this is where I get the word humility, because the Hebrew word is the Hebrew word shaka, which means to worship. It is a form of bowing, prostrate upon the ground in order to say, you are greater than me, and I worship you. Hey, Abraham has been visited by God before. He recognizes, and I want you to know, he bows before him in worship. I dare say when the Lord comes by and pays you an unexpected visit and surprises you today to death, you didn't run to meet him. You probably went and hid. And you sure didn't bow yourself before him in humility. You tried to go the other way. But a time or two when I got in the house of God, when the man of God began to preach, and I was looking for the Lord to be there, but the preacher began to preach, and the Holy Ghost came down my avenue and knocked on my heart's door, shocked me to death. Had a word of God, a word from God for me. And praise God, I'm glad. There's been a few times I wanted to hear from heaven, and I was glad to hear it, but there's been other few times that I didn't want to hear. Amen? Amen. So we see his humility. I want you to see his hospitality. He says to them, he says, "My Lord, if I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant." In other words, he is inviting them to stay. The word hospitality actually means love to strangers. You never know, some have entertained angels unawares. Look with him. He invites them to stay for dinner. He says, "I want to fetch you some water so you can wash your feet. I want you to rest under the tree. It's hot out here." Verse 5, "We're going to fetch you a morsel of bread." And he says, "I basically want you to stay for dinner." And look at the end of verse 5. "The divine visitors said, so do as thou hast said." They accept the invitation. Have you ever been driving down the road in your car? Maybe you was listening to gospel music. Maybe you was just there praying. And you felt the divine presence of the Holy One get in the car with you. I'm going to run. You felt tears streaming down your face. Man, you just said, "Lord, just stay with me a while. This is good for us to fellowship together. I'm unworthy, but I'm thankful you're here." And encouraged your heart. Hey, Abraham says, "Lord, this is good. Just stay with me a little while." Note his haste, letter C, verse 6. Abraham hasted into the tent unto Sarah. He said, "Honey, I want you to get ready 3 measures of fine meal. I want you to knead it, and I want you to make cakes. These are unleavened cakes." Let me tell you something. Leaven represents sin. Abraham is entertaining the Lord. You don't think he's going to go through sinful practices and participations and present that to the Lord, do you? Amen, Preacher Dan. I don't think that he would. But in a lot of our churches, that's what we are doing. And he says, "Honey, I want you to make 3 cakes, 3 measures of meal." That is what we call an ephah, of about 8 gallons or so of meal. It's not just a morsel. He spared no expense. I'm telling you, he gave 3 measures of meal, not just little cakes. It was a huge deal what he put on. It was a feed, a big feed. Hey, when you come to God to worship him, and you come to give him what you are, do you give him your best? Do you give him the first fruits? Do you give him that which is right, that which is holy? Or do you give him that which is weak, that which is leftovers? Like I used to do to Casper, my dog, and I'd get out there and I'd hit on that little pan and try to get him to come. Hey, God is not looking for your leftovers. David said when he went to buy the threshing floor of Araunah, he said, "I want to buy this threshing floor." And Araunah says, "You're the king, you just take it." He said, "I will not. You tell me what's right, I want to pay for it. I will not offer to God that which costs me nothing." But that's what a lot of us do. I want to give something to God, but I don't want it to cost me a whole lot. I want to get the best deal I can get. I promise you, if you'll give what's right to God, he will not leave you outgiven. He will outgive you every single time. Amen. We note his haste. Quickly, immediately, he jumped up and began to make preparations for them to eat. I thought about this. 3 C's. There is cleaning. He made sure that he prepared water so they could wash their feet. Comfort. He prepared a place for them that they might rest. And catering. They prepared a meal. When he went, ladies, hear me. When he went to Sarah and says, "Listen, we got guests, 3 of them. Would you get 3 measures of fine meal and knead it and prepare cakes?" She didn't say, "I don't have time to do this." No complaint. No murmur. No panic. Whoa, 3 people. I've not even cleaned the tent door, Abraham, what do we do? No panic. Not whatsoever. And men, note this. He jumped in there and helped her. He ran out to the herd, and I believe he got the best calf that he had. And he took that thing and he gave it to one of his servants, to a young man. I like that, amen. He said, dress it. That represents sacrifice. It represents the Lord Jesus who gave himself for us that we might be saved. Praise God. When God gave to you and I, he gave his best. Why can't we? Amen. Hallelujah. You understand? These men have come there to condescend from the throne of glory, to condescend, to come to Abraham and to Sarah, that they might encourage them. President Jimmy Carter, I looked this up. He would spend the night during his presidency with an average American family. It was an attempt to show the public that he was in touch with the average American. If you knew President Carter was coming to your house, what preparations would you have made? I mean, he's going to come with the Secret Service. How much greater is the Lord Jesus Christ than the president? And how much greater entourage will he come with than the Secret Service? Amen? And I promise you this, he is going home with you tonight if you're saved. The Lord wants to encourage you. He wants to dwell with you. And he wants to fulfill you. He wants you not to be faltering in faith. He wants you to have the joy of faith. R.A. Torrey, one of the greatest preachers ever. I studied this in mission class for the academy. R.A. Torrey's daughter was tragically killed in an accident when she was 12 years old. And he said that he almost, and I'm paraphrasing, he almost grieved himself to death because of the loss of his daughter. Naturally so. And he said one day after prayer, much prayer, he said the most overwhelming joy and peace came to my life that I have ever experienced in my ministry. And it came at the power and the presence of the Holy Ghost living in me. Listen, and I want to point this out to you. When your faith is faltering, he will condescend and come meet you where you are. Where are you? Hey, Lord, I feel preaching. Where are you tonight? Where are you, says the Lord? It's not that he doesn't know where you are. He wants you to recognize where you are. Where are you tonight? He says, I will meet with you where you are. Hallelujah. He came to Abraham and to Sarah right where they are. So he condescended. Number two. When faith is faltering, I want you to notice the communion of the Lord. Now we see that he took, verse 7, he took the calf, and verse number 8, he took butter, he took milk. There's a lot of preaching you could do there. And the Bible said he set it before them. And look what happens here. And he stood by them under the tree. Under the tree. Man, a fella could preach right there on the cross, amen. And the Bible said, and they did eat communion. It was customary. The most intimate fellowship that you could have was done over a meal. Hallelujah. And here's the communion taking place. Now you get this in your head. Do you think the Lord came there with those two divine visitors because they were hungry? They didn't come there to eat. But they did. Because they said, we want to fellowship with you right where you are. Can you imagine, ladies, preparing a meal for Jesus? And don't you know, when the Word of God is being preached, that he's breaking bread with us, amen. And he wants to have, woo, he wants to have fellowship with us, bless his holy name. Amen. Yes, sir. Preacher, you ought not to get so excited. I can't help it. Jesus is here, and he's come to fellowship with us when our faith was faltering. Bless his holy name. Please understand that this is the first time that I see the Lord eating. I don't see him eating again until after his incarnation, when he took upon himself a robe of flesh. He ate, not because he's hungry. He ate because he wants fellowship. Please understand that when your faith is faltering, the Lord wants you to be refreshed with intimate fellowship with him. God wants to fellowship with me. and with you. Hallelujah. Number 3, look at verse 9. And they said unto him, where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. When your faith is faltering, the Lord condescends. The Lord wants to commune that you might be refreshed. But then he comes, number 3, he comes with a word of confirmation. He gives them a reassurance of the promise he's already made them. Over and over and over again said, you're going to have an heir. You're going to be the father of nations. You're going to be the father of many kings. I mean, over and over and over again, he's give Abraham this promise. But I understand something. That every time Abraham has gotten that promise, he was to go back to his wife and tell her, thus saith the Lord. And she got it second-handed every time. See, God was using the husband to be the preacher. So let me tell you what God said that he might instruct the wife. No wonder Sarah oftentimes said, I just can't believe this is going to happen. This is too good to be true. Hey, how many times have you gone home from a good service at church and you go back to tell somebody, man, we had a time. Hey, it's 18 people got saved. I'm 10 people shouting, praising God. And they say, that's good. I'm excited to death. Glad to hear it. Don't you know Abraham went back and said, Sarah, oh, glory to God. He's come by. He's promised us to have a child. That's good. But I'm about 90 years old and I ain't had it yet. Okay? And we've tried already to take this into our own hands and you married Hagar. Look how that turned out. I mean, this time when the Lord comes and he speaks and he says, where is Sarah thy wife? He's speaking to Abraham again, is he not? Look at the text. Where is Sarah? Not Hagar. Where is Sarah? Do you know what her name used to be? Her name was Sarai. The previous chapter. Which means contentious. And she was a feisty one. Always trying to figure things out. Always trying to adjust and make it work. But he said, I'm changing your name from Sarai, contentious, to Sarah, which means princess. She will be the mother of kings and the mother of nations. And now these 3 divine visitors come and say, where is Sarah? Her new name. The Lord knew who he is talking about. The Lord knew she had had a name change. He knew, Lord of God, where is Sarah, thy wife? And she was inside the tent door, listening and heard the divine visitor say, where is Sarah, thy wife? Sarah, nobody knows my name but the God that spoke to Abraham. Woo! That must be him. He says in verse number 10, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life, and lo, Sarah, thy wife, shall have a son. Sarah heard it in the tent door. It was behind him. She was eavesdropping. Lord God, I wish we had some at the prayer meeting that begin to do some eavesdropping. I just want to hear what the master might have to say to me. Woo! Hallelujah. So she hears now. She has overheard God's promise being given as a confirmation. You know what he's wanting to do? He's wanting to affirm his promise to them. He wants them to trust him. Preacher Darren, why have they struggled? Have they struggled because they're so weak? No, I'm going to tell you, they have struggled because they're so strong. They are too strong. And God allows them to go through the frustrations and the struggles to show them, you're too strong. You need to learn to get weak. When you get weak, then I can use you. Because when you're weak, then I'm strong and I'll make you strong. Preacher, I seem like I hear it all the time. Pray for me, we're really struggling. You know what that tells me? You're too strong for your own good. And God's allowed this to come that you might learn to get weak. Oh, Lord, I've done confessed it to the preacher. Amen, that I'm trying to do it on my own. That's why they've had the struggles. They are too strong. So God allows the struggles to come to them. And he says, I'm going to reaffirm the promise because now you have recognized that you have no ability. You have recognized that you have no strength. You have recognized that your experience will not do this. You have recognized that only I can bless your womb to have a child. You have recognized that only I can take care of your needs. I say hallelujah. And he gives them a confirmation of the promise. Last of all, and I'm done. I want you to see the confrontation from the Lord. Verse 11, now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. In other words, she's way past the childbearing age. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure? My Lord being old also? I am 90 years old. My husband is 100. How are we going to have a child? Look at verse 13. And the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child, which am old? Do you see who he confronted over her faltering faith? He confronted her husband. You understand that as a pastor, I am accountable? Do you understand as a teacher in your Sunday school class that you are accountable? Do you realize as a deacon, you are accountable? Do you realize, husband, that you are accountable, sir? God had given a word to Abraham every single time, and he is to be faithful in sharing that with Sarah. And now that she has faltering faith, he comes to the preacher. He comes to the head of the household. He comes to Abraham and he says, wherefore did Sarah laugh?